Well, good morning. It's good to be with you here in Rathfrynan. And once again, can I thank your pastor and the oversight for the opportunity to be here with you today? Can I apologize in advance because I woke up yesterday morning with a sore throat and I hoped that overnight it would clear, but it is actually still there and I'm still croaking away a wee bit. So if I have to keep stopping and taking a drink, you'll bear with me on that. We're going to turn in our Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're just going to read the first two verses of the chapter from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 1 and verse 2, and God's word says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. The epistle of Hebrews is one of the most fundamental books of the New Testament in terms of outlining for us as believers today the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ over all things. It focuses very much on building up the person of Christ and establishing who he is and establishing that he is high over all. And the Bible commentator William MacDonald, in his commentary about the book of Hebrews, he wrote these words for those who had come from a Jewish background, those who had been Jews, and they had made that step from Judaism to Christ, and how it was being reinforced for them time and time again as they were facing challenges to their faith, this new faith that they had come to, as they were facing difficulties in their faith, as they were facing oppression. The book of Hebrews, MacDonald says, really draws them to the fact that Christ is high over all. He says that for them to move from Judaism to Christ, it involved them leaving shadows for substance. It involved them leaving ritual for reality. He says that it involved them going from being the popular to the unpopular, from the majority to the minority, from the oppressors to the oppressed. And that is really the case when we read the book of Hebrews. And when you read through it, if you look over in chapter 1 and the first few verses, it speaks very much about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that how God has spoken unto us by his Son. It emphasizes the Lord Jesus Christ in those first few verses. It speaks about the one whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. It speaks about how Christ is all of these things. And yet it goes on to speak about how he's the one who has purged our sins. And he's the one who's now seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's the one who is high over all. And this book of Hebrews, this letter to the Hebrews, continues with that theme as it moves through each of the chapters that we read. And it speaks to emphasize for believers today, as it did for those who had come to faith in Christ 2,000 years ago. It speaks about the fact that it took faith to come to Christ. It took faith then in order to come to see Jesus as the Messiah. And it's still the same today. It still requires faith for us as believers today. Not just saving faith, believing faith, but living faith. A faith that we take with us day by day. A faith that goes with us step by step through our life. A faith which holds on to Christ and who he is and what he's done for us in our lives. And that's really the topic that I want us to think about this morning just for a little while. I want us to take this question of what is genuine faith? What is genuine faith? You see, there is, I believe personally and in conversation with others, I believe there's a concern for the church today in terms of what faith is. Because the word faith, like many other words in our English language, the word faith has been adopted, it has changed, and it can mean other things now. It doesn't just mean what we understand faith to mean in Scripture. When I was looking at this passage of Scripture and I was studying this, I looked up what the dictionary definition of faith is, and there were 7 different meanings for the word faith in the dictionary. Now, I'm not going to go through all of them this morning, but what I will say is that it talks about how faith can be confidence or trust in a person. It can be a belief that's not based on proof. It can be an obligation or a loyalty. There's 7 different meanings given in the English dictionary today. But the word faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the meaning of the Greek word here, which is translated as faith in this verse, when you read it in its context and you take it in the context of what's around it, it speaks about having this strong conviction that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the one through whom we obtain our eternal salvation. That's what faith is. That's genuine faith. But the problem for the church today is that people are starting to lose this conviction element of faith. People are starting to use the word faith in a glib fashion. People say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. All you need is a wee bit of faith. All you need is faith. Just a faith that it will all work out. But what does that mean? When we say that, do we really think about what we're saying? Do we really know what we mean when we say that? Do we really grasp the fact that it's not just a word, but it's an act? It's not just a word, but it's a state of mind. It's not just a word, but it's something that we have to do. Or are those just the right words at the right time? Just the right words for the moment? See, I believe we need to get back to focusing on this genuine faith that Scripture speaks about. Now, we live in a society that's very materialistic, don't we? We live in a society where people fix their hopes and their dreams upon the tangible. They look at the things that they can reach out and they can hold on to, the things that we can touch and feel, the things that we can see. And that's the things that we put our faith in nowadays, in many cases. And the church is caught up in that. The Church of Jesus Christ is caught up in that mindset. You see, we are so caught up sometimes in the church with worrying about persecution, and there is persecution coming, that we forget about that other great challenge that we have today for the 21st century evangelical church, and that's prosperity. There is a problem in the church with prosperity because people are putting their faith in the things of here and now. People are depending upon the fact that they're wealthy. People are depending upon the fact that they can get through any problem because of how society has trained us. And we live in a society where our mindset is focused on the here and now. But the writer to the Hebrews here was encouraging those who were being persecuted. He was encouraging those who were suffering, and he was encouraging them to look to Christ, to reach out and to lay hold upon him. The people that the writer to the Hebrews was writing to, they were seeing the visible things, they were seeing the problems, they were seeing the difficulties, and they could see the things in front of them. And he was saying to them, don't focus on those things. Don't focus on those visible things. He's saying, reach out by faith and lay hold upon Christ. Warren Wiersbe calls it the invisible reality of God. Are we reaching out and laying hold upon the invisible today? Are we reaching out and laying hold upon Christ for every situation in life? Because it grieves my heart how often I don't. And I know I'm no different than many others. We have to reach out and lay hold upon Christ in every situation, in every circumstance of life. This letter and this chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11, all those who have trusted in Christ are called to live by faith. And that's what our call is today. Our call is to live by faith. So over the course of our little study this morning, I want us to think about this question, what is genuine faith? And in these two verses, there are 3 simple things that I want us to notice about this question. I want you to notice here in this description of genuine faith that we have in these two verses that genuine faith will demonstrate confidence in the person of Christ. If we have genuine faith, we will have confidence in the person of Christ. The verse 1 starts off with these words. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. That word, which is translated as substance in the text, it literally means ground or confidence. It's telling us that Our faith should be confident. It should be a confident faith, and it speaks about having confidence in the hope of our salvation. That's the context of what it says here. And who's the hope of our salvation? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one in whom we ought to have confidence in every situation and in every circumstance. Having confidence in Christ. Now, we can't just lift this verse out of Hebrews chapter 11 and take it out of its context. We have to set it in the scene, and we have to set it in with the verses around it. In the previous chapter of Hebrews, we read time and time again about the Lord Jesus Christ. Time and time again, it focuses back in on him. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And then in verse 12 of that same chapter, speaking about Christ, it says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down." And then Hebrews 10 and verse 19, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest," how? "By the blood of Jesus." By the blood of Christ. And we're encouraged in that chapter, and we're encouraged in this verse of Hebrews 11 and verse 1, we're encouraged to draw near. We're encouraged to hold fast to the profession of our faith. And we have a profession of faith. If you're saved here this morning, you have a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And yet there's all of these assurances which we find in chapter 10. And there's this admonition in chapter 10 to draw near and to hold fast to Christ. And yet the Holy Spirit of God inspired the writer very quickly to move on into this, what we know as chapter 11, this great chapter of faith. And moved in, it's a lengthy chapter, and it deals with the subject of faith. Now, we know that the chapter breaks aren't inspired, of course. We know that the chapter breaks are inserted by the translators, and they're there for ease of reference. So when we read chapter 11, we have to read it with the flow and with the context of chapter 10. We have to read it in light of what has gone before and how it comes in. So we see Christ in chapter 10, and we see him emphasized in chapter 10 of Hebrews. And then this verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith in Christ. We look at Christ in chapter 10, and we see the writer speaking about him, and emphasizing him, and exalting him, and glorifying him, and portraying him as the one who's the fulfillment of all the shadows and all of the types in the Old Testament. Hebrews 10 and verse 1 says that, having a shadow of good things to come. That's the law. A shadow of good things to come. And the good thing to come was Jesus Christ. And then in Hebrews 10 and verse 9, the writer says that Christ has come to take away the first, that he might establish the second. Now the writer, of course, was writing to those who had come to faith in Christ from Judaism. And they were wavering in their faith, and they were struggling, and they were looking back to the former things. They were looking back to the first. And the writer was saying to him, don't look back to the first. Look to the second. Look to Christ. Look to the one who has replaced. Look to the one who has fulfilled the law. They were being reminded here that Christ is the substance of their faith. Do you remember over in Paul's letter to the Romans? He talks about our justification and he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's where our justification comes from. It comes through Christ. We have peace with God through Christ. We have all of these blessings wrapped up in Christ. And these believers here had a need to be reminded. They needed just to be reminded to fix their eyes on him. To look to Christ. To focus on him. To build their faith on him. And this whole book of Hebrews was written to encourage them. It was written to build them up. It was written to remind them of the supremacy of Christ, of the fact that he is the one who's worthy of praise and exaltation. And now as we come towards the end of this letter, and this great subject of faith, it comes in now, and it's highlighted, and it's focused upon at length. And what the writer has done here is, has built up this scene, and has built up the picture. And we now have this tremendous climax as we come towards the end of the book. And the climax is this, that all we need is faith in Christ alone. Faith in Christ alone. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's Christ that we need, and it's faith in him that we need for for our day-to-day living. And there's such a tremendous onus upon us today not to forget about the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's easy to do. It is easy for us to forget about the object of our faith. We have ourselves convinced that we have faith. And sometimes we try to depend upon our faith itself and not upon the substance of that faith. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes we think, but I shouldn't feel like that because I have faith. But we're not focusing on the substance or the object of faith. We're focusing upon the fact that we have faith. And we need to look to Christ, not to ourselves, not to what we see that we can do. We can sometimes convince ourselves that we have a strong faith. We can sometimes convince ourselves that that will carry us through the day. That's all we need. It's just faith. And we're getting back to this meaning of the word and what we're actually talking about here. And in the average, every day, we can get through on that. We can muddle through on that. But when the challenges come, and when difficulties come in life, and we're going through trials, and we're going through those problems that we all face, that's when our faith is tested. That's when our faith is tried. And if we haven't built our faith on Christ, on the everyday and in the everyday, then when we come to the challenging day, when we come to the day of problem and difficulty, we will struggle because our faith has been in our faith all along and our faith hasn't been focused on Christ. As one writer said, that faith in the goodness of God in the face of extreme adversity doesn't just happen. It grows out of a discipline of perseverance in the day in, day out grind of everyday life. See, we need to take our faith with us every day. Our faith in Christ. We need to fix our eyes on Him every day. Even in the days when things run smoothly. Even in the days whenever nothing seems to go against us. And we have days like that, don't we? Even in the days whenever it's all plain sailing. And we just think that we can manage. But we need to build our faith in those days. We need to fix our eyes on Christ in those days. In the day-to-day living. Because we need that strong faith in Christ when the difficulties come. We need to remember as well that faith is a gift of God. Over in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, Paul writes there, he says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God has gifted us faith in Christ. God has given us salvation through Christ, and it's ours to live in, and it's ours to experience, and it's ours to enjoy. And yet so often we float through the day and we don't really focus upon what we have in Christ. We need to remember that the substance of our faith is God Himself and the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the substance of our faith. It's J.C. Ryle who once said, "What is the life of saving faith when once begun, but a continual leaning on an unseen Savior's word?" Is that what we're doing day by day? Are we leaning upon the one who's the substance of our faith? The hope of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the application for us here today. Is our faith built upon the solid ground of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it ought to be. And I have to say this to you this morning. If your faith is not built upon Christ, then it's not genuine faith. If your faith is in your feelings, if your faith is in yourself, it's not genuine. What has been promised to us in Christ, this gift of faith, it's experienced through new life in Christ. Do we know it this morning? Do you know it this morning? Sitting in this meeting in Rathfrieland Baptist Church, do you know what it is to have genuine faith in Jesus Christ? Or are you living a lie? Are you living a lie? Our faith is built upon the blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's confidence in His person. I want you to notice, secondly, that we ought to have certainty in His promises. Certainty in His promises. It tells us here in the second half of the verse, it says, "The evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. That word translated there is evidence. It literally means conviction. And the strength of the original Greek word, it has the thought of something being unshakable. Can't be shaken. The evidence here holds up as absolutely sure, absolutely certain, will not fall. And it speaks here about certainty. Certainty in his promise, in the promises of God. You see, faith for us is the means of spiritual sight. Do you get that this morning? Do you get the fact this morning that when you live by faith, that's your spiritual sight? That's spiritual eyesight, living by faith. We're looking by faith. And I'll refer back to the quote from Wiersbe, the unseen realities or the invisible realities of God. That's what faith is, looking to the invisible realities of God. We're talking here about certainty. Certainty in his promise. And faith has to be built upon some sort of evidence. That's really what the writer's getting to here. There has to be some sort of evidence. Faith can't be built upon nothing. Faith can't have no evidence. Faith without evidence, really, is nothing more than superstition. That's really what it comes down to. If you take time to look at Hebrews chapter 11, and you read through it, and I'm sure most, if not all of you, have read through this on many occasions, and it's such a tremendous chapter, and you'll read through these different examples, these different evidences of all of these Old Testament characters who lived by faith, who demonstrated faith. You read about Abel, you read about Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac, and you go through all of these characters. It talks about Moses and Rahab, and you speak and you see these characters, and what you see coming through, the theme that comes through this chapter time and time again, is that they had absolute certainty by faith in the promises of God. And they looked forward. They were looking forward by the eye of faith towards the promised Messiah. And yet they demonstrated such faith, such assurance, such certainty as they looked forward. Over in Acts 10 and verse 43, the writer says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. All the prophets give witness. The Old Testament prophets, they all point forward. They all point forward to Christ. And all of these Old Testament heroes of the faith that we read of in chapter 11, they all looked forward by faith. And we still look by faith today. Each one of us who are saved. That's how we ought to live our lives as believers, looking by faith. We still find ourselves looking backwards by faith. And we're looking back to that time in our lives when we were saved. We're looking back to that time in our lives when God came and he challenged us and he convicted us of our sin and he drew us to himself in saving love. We're looking back to the cross. We're looking back to that time when our Savior went to Calvary for us. We weren't there, but we know what happened. We weren't there, and yet by the eye of faith we can see him on that tree. And there upon that tree he shed his precious blood for you and for me. We look back to that time when the tomb was empty, because he's risen. And we know that right now he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us. Romans 8 and 24 says we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. We're looking back by the eye of faith to what Christ has done for us. But you know, we're looking forward. We're looking forward by the eye of faith for the fulfillment of the prophetic plan of God. We're looking forward by the eye of faith to that time when our Lord returns to the air. And as he returns and he takes his own beloved to himself, are you ready for it? Are you ready for that time? And yet our faith must still be grounded. All of it is grounded upon the evidence that we have. And what is the evidence that we have? We have his word. That is the evidence upon which our faith is established and upon which it's built. William MacDonald says that faith is confidence in the trustworthiness of God. It's a conviction that what God says is true and that what he promises will come to pass. Now, you're looking at God's word and it's just a book. It's just something that you have to read. It's just something that you're supposed to read every day. And you're just ticking the box in the morning. You get up in the morning and you open up your Bible. You might not even open your Bible. You're just opening a wee devotional book. And you read a verse and you read a wee nice story. And you run out the door for the day. You're not building your faith upon the promises of God if that's the way you're living your life. Are you in God's Word? Are you in God's Word? Are you reading God's Word? Are you studying God's Word? Are you building up the evidence of faith that you see here to strengthen your faith? Do you have certainty in the promises of God as you read His Word? You see, time and time again, God's Word reveals His promises to us. We're His children. We're saved this morning. If you're saved this morning, you're a child of God. And God's Word reveals His promises to us. And there's been the fulfillment of many of His promises. When Christ came, that fulfilled promises. Some of them were fulfilled at that point in time. And then we think of the life of Christ and how He lived that perfect, sinless, that spotless life. And that fulfilled promises of God through His Word. And then He went to the cross. And that fulfilled some more. And then He rose again. And that fulfilled some more. And He's at God's right hand now. And that fulfilled more. And you know, history confirms it. Regardless of what the world might say, history confirms that Christ lived and that Christ died. But you know, not all the promises are fulfilled yet, at least in time. But they're fulfilled in God's prophetic plan. They're not fulfilled in time. The promises which refer to His return, they have yet to be fulfilled. Do we have certainty in those promises today? Are we looking forward with the eye of faith, knowing, absolutely knowing, that one day, very soon, Christ is coming to the earth? Our certainty in those promises is an evidence of the depth of our faith. How certain are you in the promises of God? I would go further than that. How we live our lives in light of His return is an evidence of the depth of our faith. Are you living your life with eternity in view? Are you living your life around those who are unsaved so that they might see Christ in you, so that they might see your faith in Him and in His promises, so that they might see that there's something different about you that they want? Are you living your life so that those who are in your family who aren't saved know that your life is built upon the Word and upon the promises of God? And are you living your life so that they want to come to Christ because of what they see in you? Do they see the beauty of Jesus in you? Because that's what God's Word should do for each one of us. It should build up our faith in Him so that we become more like Him. Do you know, there's going to come a time when our faith will be tested and it's tried. And those of us who are saved, we know that. And we've all been there. But you know, that again is an evidence of the promises of God. And that's the wonderful thing about it. It tells us over in 1 Peter. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, 7 and 8, "The trial of your faith being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And then Paul writes about it over in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. He talks about our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And what we read here, we're reading here that there will be times in our life when we're tested. There will be times in the Christian life when we'll face challenge. There will be times in our Christian life whenever we don't know where to turn. And all we can do is turn inward to ourselves or turn upward to God. And there's a responsibility for us as believers that our faith may be found proved, that our faith may be grounded upon the evidence of the promises of God. Both those that are seen and those that are unseen. Those that haven't been seen yet, but we know with absolute certainty that they will come to pass because God has said it and God has promised it. Have you been tried in recent days? Have you been tested in recent days? Has your faith been challenged in recent days? I was thinking about this when I was studying it, and I was thinking about the case, the very prominent court case that's just gone on with Asher's Bakery, and how the judgment came back and the people of God were praying that the judgment would come back a particular way. And it didn't come back that way. It didn't come back the way that we would have humanly wanted it to come back. Did that challenge your faith? Did that shake your faith? Do you know there's been so many gospel opportunities that have come since the case came back the way that the judgment came? There have been many people who have had an opportunity to speak a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean we like the judgment. Doesn't mean we agree with the judgment. But yet there have been gospel opportunities. You see, God's still on the throne. God is still on the throne. And God is still in control of all of these things. And all of these things can happen for a purpose and for a reason. And they might challenge us. And they might cause us to question certain things. But the promises of God still stand. And He is still in control of every situation. Has your faith been challenged in recent days? Just stand firm upon the promises of God. Do you see that whenever we're tested in our faith, that it should be a comfort to us? It should be an encouragement to us. Do you know why that is? We go through challenges and we go through difficulties in our faith, but the comfort and the encouragement is this: it's because we're His. We're challenged because we're His. Our faith is tested because we are His. And He tests us. And He tries us. And He shapes us and He molds us. And He puts us into the form that He wants us to be. He molds us for His glory. And for His honor. So that we might be fitted to serve Him. So that we might be fitted to live for Him. Genuine faith will show confidence in His person. It will have certainty in His promises. And then finally and very quickly, it will bring clarity to our purpose. Because verse 2 here says, "For by it, the elders obtained a good report." Now, when I was thinking about this little verse, and it was a bit of a challenge when I was in the study trying to work out, well, where do I go with this? But the word that stood out for me was the first little word in that verse 2. It says, "For." For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Because that word is a linking word. It links verse 2 to verse 1. And what it does here is it links faith with example or faith with evidence. That's really what it does. Verse 2 in this chapter is a scene-setting verse. It's setting the scene for the writer to highlight these great heroes of the faith that you read about later on in the chapter. And it really, it's there and I wondered, how are we going to deal with this? How are we going to look at this? And I was reading different commentators, and John Phillips, the Bible commentator, says that this speaks here about those who put their faith to the test, and they reached out, and they grasped the unseen world and found it to be real. By it, the elders obtained a good report. These elders, speaking about all of these different people that we read about later on in the chapter, these elders have witnessed to the goodness and to the reality of God in their lives. Why? By faith. They've witnessed it by faith. And our focus is upon the fact that faith provides purpose for the child of God. It clarifies our purpose in our lives. God won't leave us rudderless. He doesn't leave us just floating about after we get saved. There's a purpose for us. There's a plan for our lives as Christians. There's a job for each one of us to do. But we need to have faith in God, and we need to be depending upon the Lord, and we need to be looking to the Lord so that He might show us His purpose, so that He might show us His plan for our lives. Now, I was thinking about that word purpose, and those of you who know me will know that I'm no fan of Rick Warren. And I'm no fan of his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, by far from being a fan of it. But the title of that book, The Purpose-Driven Life, could describe here what the author of the book of Hebrews was saying. He was writing here, and those who had received the letter, and he was saying to them, this is a real purpose-driven life. This is how you live your life. He was saying, look at those who have gone before. Look at the evidence of them. Look at their faith. Look at how it has led them to witness to the things of God and to the reality of God. And that little phrase at the end of the verse, it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. That phrase is used three times in the chapter. It's used here in verse 2. It's used in verse 4. In verse 4 it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. It's the same phrase. He obtained a good report. It's exactly the same word in the Greek. And then verse 39, it speaks about it again. It says, and all these, at the end of going through all of these evidences, all these having obtained a good report through faith. They all obtained a good report. They all had served the Lord. They all had lived lives of faith. And that's our purpose. That's our purpose as Christians. It's to live a life of faith which bears witness to the grace of God in our lives through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we all ought to live as believers. And I was looking down through this and I was thinking, well, I can take out of this chapter, there's so many different individuals. But there's five little words at the start of verse 34. In Hebrews 11 and verse 34, there's one example here of living a life by faith. It says, quenched the violence of fire. Quenched the violence of fire. And that verse, those words actually remind us of those three Hebrew brethren. You'll remember them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And over in Daniel chapter 3, we read about how they were cast into the furnace. And they were cast into that furnace for refusing to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. And you'll remember the story about how they were taken and they refused to bow down, and the king brought them in. And he had them bound hand and foot. And he had the furnace turned up 7 times its normal heat. And he brought in the strongest, the mightiest of his warriors, the mightiest of his soldiers. And they brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the mouth of the furnace, and they cast them in. And the heat was so intense that the soldiers died. It killed them immediately. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were cast into that furnace. And they wouldn't bow down. And Daniel 3 and verse 17, they said this, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. He will deliver us. And that's faith. As they were bound and they were cast in, and we know the story of how the very presence of God was in the midst of them. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, were there not 3 cast in, and do I not see 4 walking about? Now remember, they were cast in, bound hand and foot. They were loosed from their bonds in the furnace. And they came out unharmed. Not even the smell of smoke upon them. And that's faith. He will deliver us. He will deliver us. R. Kent Hughes says the faith of the trio consisted simply in taking God at his word and living their lives accordingly. Is that how we live our lives? By taking God at his word and living our lives accordingly, knowing that he will deliver us. You see, the fearful thing today is that we take stories like this and we call them stories. We take these evidences from Scripture and we call them stories. And we think of them just as stories and nothing more. And the reality is that they're actual events. They actually took place. They actually happened, and they were demonstrations of the power of faith in the living God. And we teach them to children, and we think of them as stories. And they're so much more than that. They are so much more than that. They are real evidence of eternal faith, a faith that is grounded in an eternal God. And it's only a faith that's grounded in the eternal God that will stand the test of time. You see, our purpose, talked about clarifying our purpose is not a purpose for time.
Our purpose is an eternal purpose. Our purpose is to live for God. Our purpose is to live a life that matters. It's to live a life that makes a difference for God. Each one of us have that purpose as believers. Are we living it out? Are we doing it? Faith's not something that we can lay claim on to meet our greed. It's not something that we can lay claim on to meet our material desires. And there's a lot of that false teaching about today, and we're not getting into that. But it's a heresy. Our faith's to be focused upon the eternal, not upon the temporal, not upon the here and now. This false teaching about having faith and it'll give you this and give you that and give the other. That's just saying that life's all about the here and now. But if life was all about the present, then there's no need for faith, is there? But it's not. You see, life here ultimately is about life eternal. Campbell Morgan said, "The man who measures things by the circumstances of the hour is filled with panic. But the man who sees Jehovah enthroned and governing has no panic." Do we see him on his throne? When we think about our Lord, do we recognize that he's on the throne, that he's in control? He has all things under the power of his hand. And do we have faith in our God? You see, faith's about eternity. Faith is about eternity, and the purpose of our faith in life is to obtain a witness for the glory of God, for the extension of his kingdom, so that he might be exalted, so that he might be glorified. I trust that's your experience this morning. I trust that it will be my experience. I trust that we won't be focused upon the temporal, but that we'll fix our eyes and build our faith upon the eternal matters of God. Amen. We're going to sing in closing number 552. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine.
Thank you.
Father, we thank thee that we have one in whom we can build our faith upon, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank thee for the one who is the Saviour, the one who died on the cross for us, the one who shed his blood for us, the one who paid the price so that we might go free. Father, we praise thee and we bless thee for him. Father, we pray, Lord, that we would live our lives to glorify his name, to exalt him, to live by faith, and Lord, to depend upon him every step of the way, every day, in every circumstance. Father, we pray, Lord, that we would look to thee. But God, we pray just now, Lord, as we gather around thy table, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would be in our midst once again. Father, we thank thee, Lord, that we have this great privilege to come to the table of the Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we gather. For those who must depart, we pray, O God, Lord, that your hand would be upon them and that you would go before them, we ask. Lord, bless later on today. Bless in the mission this afternoon. Bless in the drive-in church this evening. Father, we pray, Lord, that the gospel would go forth with power and with liberty. And Father, we pray, Lord, that as thy servants preach thy word, that souls would come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Undertake for us now, we ask, in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.